Right. Now, imagine having something that has the probability of happening, and that probability stands at 1 in a billion chance happening to you. Well, it happened to our guest, Faghi Ali, is about to join us. He had a meteor. I'm not even sure if that's the correct the description for what happened or what fell through his roof, fall through his furniture shop roof into the shop. He's with us on the line, but we'll also speak to an expert a little bit later, Dr. Phil Janey, who'll be listening in on our discussion. He's a senior lecturer in the Department of Geological Sciences at UCT. So if you recall last week, the South African Astronomical Observatory announced that meteors would be visible between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. And what we understand, of course, is that they also differ in size. It could be as small as a grain, you know, to about 1 meter wide. Well, one of these fell through Fakhri's business roof into the furniture shop as he was locking up. Good afternoon, Fakhri. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, good afternoon, Azania. How are you doing?
I'm good. Am I saying your name correctly?
That's perfect, yes.
Fakhri. All right, Fakhri. Yes, perfect. Yes. So tell us about what happened. A 1 in a billion chance. Occasion, yes. Occurrence happened to you?
It was very surprising. Hmm. As any, what happened was we were just standing around in our shop at around closing time. Mm-hmm. And then we heard a loud banging sound.
Yeah.
That is actually what caught our attention mostly out of everything, because we picked up these small pieces of rock on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And it was obvious to see that they were extremely unusual.
Wow.
And I knew about the meteor shower across South Africa at approximately the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a slight suspicion that it might have been that.
Oh. So when you took a look at them, you thought your brain, your mind immediately drew a link.
Yeah. I couldn't explain it in any other way. So, yeah, it did.
So describe it. What did these little fragments look like?
While they're extremely small, if you put them together, they would form about between 2 to 3 centimeters.
Oh, wow.
And they have quite a smooth texture to them.
Mm.
And if you look quite closely, you see that it had to go through some extreme heat to have the look that it has.
Yes. So you said a loud crash. So these small little fragments shot through, what kind of roof is it, by the way? What kind of ceiling and roof do you have? And they made this particular loud crashing noise.
Yes, we have a metal roof, metal sheeting roof,
mm-hmm.
which is quite thick, and the ceiling itself is extremely thick as well.
Yeah.
So it came through at a tremendous speed to be able to produce a sound that it did.
Sure, something that's just 2-3 centimeters. And you said there were a number of these fragments in the shop that you picked up. How many were there?
I suppose it came through at one piece,
yeah.
And probably broke up as landed.
I see.
It's about 4 pieces.
Yeah. And it wasn't glowing, because often when we have these, what we then describe as shooting stars, they would come down in a bit of a blaze.
Yeah, it wasn't glowing at all, but apparently when they come through and they burn up,
mm-hmm.
that's when you see the shooting star or the burning effect.
Yes. I don't think a lot of people would have thought to do what you did next. What did you do?
Well, I took pictures of the rocks, and I contacted Dr. Johan Diener at the Geological Science Department at UCT.
Mm.
I sent the pictures through to him, and he confirmed that they were indeed fragments of a meteorite.
Oh, my goodness. What did you think then? What has been going through your mind that this happened to you?
The first thing that went through my mind was, what were they worth? Unfortunately, not much, though.
Oh. And that's it, what they're worth,
yeah.
And that there's a story to tell.
Yeah, it's a very good story to tell, yes.
Right. So who, and I'll ask this of the doctor as well, who is the custodian? Who owns it then?
Apparently I own it,
mm-hmm.
although I did donate one piece to the university.
Yes.
But I have the rest of the pieces.
And have you named them? Is there any kind of sentimental process going on?
I don't know, we might name them, but I have received a few names in the last few days from our friends.
Mm-hmm.
They started calling me the meteor man, or, probably thinking that I got some superpowers from whatever.
Yeah, so are you going to mount it and frame it and put it somewhere in the shop?
Yeah, we're definitely going to frame it and just to have some proof of the story itself.
Okay. Well, Fakhri, Meteor Man Ali, thank you very much for sharing your story with us. How incredible.
Okay. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Gosh, what should he call those? What should he call those little fragments of the meteor that came shooting through his furniture shop? This was in Paarl, by the way. And he had the good mind to turn to the experts to try and figure out exactly what it is, and contributed, I guess, to this division at UCT, the Department of Geology at UCT. But he's had experts look at it, and they have confirmed that it is a piece of meteor. So we take a break, and when we come back, we'll chat to Dr. Phil Jenny. If you have any questions, you're welcome to be a part of this conversation on 011-883-0702. He's a senior lecturer in the Department of Geological Sciences at UCT. We join Dr. Phil Jenny as we look at what happened to Fakhri Ali. He is a shop owner, and the fragments of a meteor, or maybe it is a meteorite, came through his window, and he heard a loud crash, and upon investigating, he found what you can call pebbles. They're pretty small. And as he said, if you put them together, they're a couple of centimeters. But he found those and immediately sent them for investigation. So, Dr. Jenny, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, sure. Glad to be here.
So there's very little probability that this could happen. The figure that's been shared is about 1 in a billion chance of this happening. Is that correct?
Well, yes and no. The way it works is that the frequency of meteorites falling depends on their size. The smaller they are, the more frequent they are.
Mm.
So there's about one meteorite of about 1 millimeter size falls on Earth about every 30 seconds.
Wow, okay.
But then a meteorite of, say, a meter in diameter only falls maybe once a year.
Oh, I see. All right. So it depends on the size. Let's take Paul's question. He's been patiently holding. Good afternoon, Paul.
No problem. Hi, good afternoon. Hi, doctor. Mine was just a quick question, but you've answered to a point. I was going to say, what is the actual size of those so-called pebbles?
Mm-hmm.
And what would happen if they hit a human or animal directly, you know, if they were outside and not under a roof? Do they have enough mass to kind of do damage?
Dr. Jenny?
Well, yes, that's a great question. Yes, they could definitely hurt someone. In fact, there's a case of a meteorite in Egypt that killed a dog. And it's particularly important because it's one of the first meteorites found that's believed to have come from the planet Mars.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
So that's the meteorite Nakhla. Yeah.
Yes. So how fast are they moving? Is that what it comes down to, the sheer speed?
It does, and they move very fast in the upper atmosphere, but they are slowing down all the time due to friction with the atmosphere. And that's also what causes the outside of the meteorite to melt and gives it this black crust called a fusion crust.
Mm-hmm.
But it's obviously must have been still traveling at many hundreds of meters per second to penetrate the roof of Mr. Ali's shop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it didn't just drop there and then down to the ground. Paul, there you go. Yeah.
Thank you. It sounds interesting.
Thank you very, very much. And just coming off Paul's question, remember there was the meteors that crashed in Russia. That caused a lot of damage as well. 950 people were injured. And there were these massive shock waves that blew out windows, that rocked buildings. Of course, that was a different size altogether. But it just goes to show the kind of scale and damage that can take place. And even historically, what we've seen with how it's changed the landscape, Dr. Jenny. So we do have evidence. And even here in South Africa, not very far from us here in the Free State.
That's right. The Vredefort Dome impact, which was about 2 billion, occurred about 2 billion years ago, was one of the biggest impacts for which we have evidence on the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's an enormous structure of 300 or so kilometers in diameter. It must have been impactor of probably sort of kilometer size.
Yes. So why didn't this fragment disintegrate?
Well, they do. The shooting stars that you see in the sky in a meteor shower, those are mostly particles that are much smaller than a grain of sand. And those virtually entirely ablate. They almost entirely basically get turned from a solid into a vapor due to friction with the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
But when the particles are a little bit larger, like in Mr. Ali's case, the particles are several millimeters in size, they're just too big to entirely ablate during their trip to the surface. And so they do land. But there's sort of a minimum size of a few millimeters. It's very rare to find material smaller than that.
Mm-hmm. Well, there aren't other reports of whether people witnessed it coming down, but he says that it didn't have that tail that we often associate with them. So does it go out at a particular point on entry? At a particular
altitude? So that fireball that you're referring to only occurs above a certain speed. And once the object slows below that speed, it's no longer able to produce the bright light, because the light is due to the energy of the extreme friction from the very, very fast-moving object.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So once it slows down in the atmosphere, so the fireballs are seen fairly high up. As they approach the surface, generally the fireball goes out, or it doesn't extinguish, but it stops emitting because it's slowed down enough that the friction isn't high enough to produce that bright light.
Mm-hmm. He had the good mind of forwarding this off to experts for analysis. But what do we know about what the meteor is made up of? And as you said earlier on, what you described is that this fireball also changes the surface.
Yes. So Mr. Ali came to UCT on Tuesday, and Dr. Diener and I looked at the objects under a microscope, and we did see that they did have a fusion crust. They looked very much like other meteorites that we've seen, and mm-hmm. so we said that almost certainly it is a meteorite. However, the reason that he left a small fragment of the meteorite with us to study further is because we need to actually determine the composition of the minerals in that meteorite to tell exactly what kind of meteorite it is.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a number of different kinds, and there are people who spend their whole careers studying and classifying different types of meteorite. This appeared to be the most common type of meteorite, which is what's called an ordinary chondrite.
So it's the one that we were likely to have falling or seeing come to Earth.
That's right. Ordinary chondrites make up about 90% of all meteorites that fall on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
There are more rare kinds like iron meteorites and stony iron meteorites that make up maybe another 5%. And then there are even more exotic, like the so-called Martian and lunar meteorites that are famous for, like, they give us the only samples that we have so far that we believe are from the planet Mars. And these are the ones that fetch huge prices, but they are extremely rare.
Right. So the value, he found out that it's not particularly valuable. And we had another caller who said that apparently meteorites are very valuable. What is the understanding? How is the value determined?
So the value is determined by two things. One is, three things: rarity, scientific interest, and finally, sort of local interest. If you have even the most boring meteorite that falls in a place that a lot of people are interested in, it will have value just from notoriety. Mm-hmm. If you have a meteorite that falls in central Johannesburg or New York City or wherever, people are going to be interested in getting a piece of that just because it's sort of a piece of history.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are the people who are very interested in the scientific significance. So that's where the things like the Martian meteorites and the so-called lunar meteorites that come from the Earth's moon have a high value because they are a piece of another planetary body that we know about.
Right. And who does it belong to? For some reason, I assumed that this kind of thing would need to be reported and handed over to the correct authorities. But in this case, Mr. Ali says that he's allowed to be the owner.
Well, my understanding is that the natural heritage laws of South Africa are such that I guess it's probably if it was deemed to be of scientific interest, it would belong to the South African state. However, I very much doubt that this particular meteorite is going to be of significant enough value for it to be, borrowed from Mr. Ali on a permanent basis. He has given us a small piece to study and confirm that it is the kind of meteorite that we think it is.
Okay, all right. There's a question that's come in about what is the difference between meteorite, and meteoroids?
That's a great question. So the word meteor actually means the streak of light in the sky in a shooting star or a meteor shower. And the object that causes that, if it lands on Earth, is the meteorite. And a meteoroid is an object that is in an intersecting path with the Earth, but still in space. So it's basically a future meteorite, an object that is likely to land on Earth.
I see.
But it's still out in space.
Yes, yes. And the difference between that and space debris, because we also have space debris that comes to the ground, that comes to Earth after some time.
Sure. Most space debris, at least as I understand the term, is human-made.
Mm.
So it would be material from spacecraft and satellites and so forth.
Yes.
Meteorites are all natural.
Right. So even as it comes down, what do we refer to the space debris as? Just debris?
I would think so. That's actually a little bit outside of my area of expertise.
I see, because there's also this term asteroid that we hear about, so just as a differentiator, or rather an understanding of the various terminologies.
Right. So a meteoroid would essentially be an asteroid, but it's a special case in which the object is on a collision path with Earth.
With Earth. All right. Got it. Fantastic. Thank you very much. It certainly excited me to see that this happened to just an ordinary guy minding his own business. And then something that, you know, doesn't always happen to, well, with us being aware of it, just took place. Thank you very much for expanding on this issue.
Well, thank you. It reminds us that we're part of the cosmos.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's Dr. Phil Janey, a senior lecturer in the Department of Geological Sciences at UCT.